I have a freshly unwrapped copy of Beyond Two Souls in front of me here.
Oh, really?
And it smells, if I open it up, like marzipan.
Like marzipan? Is that the signature smell of Ellen Page?
Yeah, I think
or
it
William
might
Dafoe?
Be. What do you think?
Oh, God, it does actually smell like marzipan. I give it a right sniff. I'll sniff right into the mic. Oh, God, it smells like a Battenberg.
So this is a PAL copy of Beyond Two Souls. If anyone else wants to try and test this theory, give your copy a sniff.
I think that's worth this 15 quid you paid for it alone, right?
Yeah,
the smell of marzipan.
It certainly is. It's 2014.
Happy New Year!
Tom and Matt Attack.
Do you reckon anyone's ever done that before? This is what games smell like.
Well, maybe not on the radio.
Probably not,
idea,
yeah.
Really.
Well, it's probably a terrible idea in any entertainment, you know, unless it comes with a snatch and scriff.
Snatch and sniff.
Fuck, you cut me off. scratch and sniff card. Oh, this is going to go well.
Yeah, I think you should play that sound box you've got there.
No, that's going to come with my games I've bought.
Oh.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Bollocks.
Unless you want me to kick that off very early in. No, I'm going to ask you first. How was your Christmas, Tom? Did you get much gaming done?
Nice, thank you. I did actually. I was back home where I had my N64. And of course, for listeners, the people who have heard this show before.
Listeners who've listened.
They'll know that I purchased a copy of Conker's Bad Fur Day fairly recently. And I've been playing that. And what I've been doing is an experiment.
Right.
I've been playing the N64 game, like a couple levels, and then replaying those same levels on the Xbox version and comparing and contrasting. I haven't been taking notes, but...
Did you bring the Xbox version with you?
I did, but of course I don't have my save game.
Oh.
It's on the console. I realised this once I got to Denmark and, oh, crap. I'm going to have to play it from the start again. But I know exactly what to do, so it shouldn't take too long.
Tell you what I will do. We could make it a thing on the podcast that I will play Conker's Bad Fur Day live and reloaded on the Xbox, and then you play it on the N64, and then we can talk about it.
Hopefully, if it plays on the 360, this is a gamble I took.
I'm pretty sure it does. Yeah. I think it's one of the few games that it's supported.
You think?
I think so.
But I can tell you what I've found so far with the two versions. It seems like a lot of the charm of the original game isn't anywhere to be found.
Really?
In the remake. Well, it is. It's there, but to a lesser extent. I don't know how they did it, because it's obvious that they've put a lot of work into making the game look really nice. And it does, but at the same time, they've just sapped a bit of the character out of it. Conker isn't as cute and adorable and expressive as he is in the N64 version. Everything is a lot less vibrant and cartoony and bouncy. I think bouncy is not just referring to the sunflower with breasts. But
yeah.
There's something missing from it. It's a pale, it's a shadow of its former self.
Well, it just kind of looks graphically superior, and there's a lot of...
I think something of it's in the faces.
Really?
Of Conker, especially. He doesn't seem to have the same sort of emotion. He doesn't seem as alive. He seems like he's blank.
Yeah.
So how that's happened, I'm not sure. The voice acting's all re-recorded, I think. Excuse me if I'm wrong, but it certainly sounds like it. There's a few changes in the gameplay, which we do joke on at the beginning, but in the end, they really don't amount to that much, apart from making the game easier.
Okay.
A lot of stuff is spelt out for you. For example, when you're doing the firing the slingshot in the original game, you had to kind of just judge what level to fire at.
Yeah.
You didn't have anything on screen like a crosshair. In the Xbox version, you have a crosshair, so it's easier to do this. Certain more cryptic puzzles are spelled out for you. This is how you do it. There's extra arrows put in certain places to show you where to go. Because the original Conker could be criticised for being cryptic in places, and you don't necessarily know exactly what to do straight away. But half of the appeal of it is working it out. I like a puzzle game, you know. For example, to get into this mouth of this snake beast monster, this stone thing with lots of mucus coming out of his mouth, you have to put pepper in each nostril and get him to sneeze, and then you can climb up the mouth because it's no longer covered in mucus.
Yeah.
And you're slipping and sliding down it. So that took me a moment to work out. But after I worked it out, I thought, yeah, you know, I'll work that out.
Welcome to my world.
I don't know if it's probably the same puzzle in the Xbox version. I haven't got that far yet. But in general, stuff is toned down. The Great Mighty Pooh song, sadly, is missing a few more profanities.
Really?
I think twat is bleeped in the Xbox version.
Oh.
Or it features quite heavily in the N64 one.
Yeah.
So.
It's a shame.
There we go. But it's a very interesting experiment to compare the two.
I mean, everyone loves a pregnant fish. Why not put the word twat in there? That's what twat is.
A pregnant fish? I thought it was a lady part. I thought it was a vulgar term for
lady
part.
It is now a vulgar term for a lady part, but yeah. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that it actually is the term for a pregnant fish.
Wow, you learn something new every day, don't you?
I'm going to Google that just in case.
I felt like I've talked a lot, Matt. I want to put this as an exchange, back and forth. Tell me a little bit about what you've been playing over Christmas.
To be honest with you, I went home, I took my Vita with me, and as before I left, I was stuck into, no, twat, noun, vulgar slang, a woman's genitals, though I am sure.
Nothing to do with fish.
What's a pregnant, there's a swear word that's something to do with a pregnant fish. Anyways, I played a bit of Spelunky. I then got some of my Christmas presents, my 3DS game, the first of which is A Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds, which I don't know if I've actually told you this, I got it Christmas morning, and then realised that my brother and my six-year-old nephew and his wife and then my other 10-year-old nephew would be descending on the house on Boxing Day, and I thought, well, I'm not really going to have a chance to play games after this point. So I sat on my ass for the whole of Christmas Day, and I completed Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds.
That sounds very sociable of you.
It was.
Oh!
Yeah, it's got a reversible cover because it's the collector's one from Game.
Yeah, but it's not got that really cool thing where there's a little picture in each of the holes in the case.
No.
When you open the case, you know, there's those holes, and sometimes they put pictures behind.
It's because it's a double-sided thing.
Yeah,
to be honest with you, I actually kind of prefer the other side. I kind of like the colours, but it just looks cheap because the other side's got gold foil on it.
Yeah,
and it's just like
a shiny gold things.
Yeah, I'm like a magpie. Yeah. But no, I sat on my bum and I completed it. And next to Wind Waker, favourite Zelda game. Very, very, very good. Hence why I couldn't put it down. Hence why I was very unsociable on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. But in all fairness, what was a boy to do? Watch crappy reruns on television or play a very good game. And after that, after I'd completed it, I got on getting the other 3DS purchase I wanted to get over Christmas with my birthday money, because my birthday was on the 27th of December. And I picked up Square Enix's Bravely Default, which, despite, as listeners of the podcast will know, I kind of slated the demo. Very bloody good game. I really enjoyed it. No, I'm halfway through around. I'm about 25 hours into the game. Very good game. Some of the puns and stuff are a bit meh.
Wow.
But very good story, very good gameplay. I actually really like the Bravely and Default battle system. Mm. It's very cool to know, like, I'm not going to have to wait four turns. I know I can kill this thing if I have Ring a Bell hit them four times. That you can kind of gamble ahead and go, okay, I know that I'm going to need to use one of my extra turns in favour of using it later. It's very cool. Mm. Oh yeah, that's also something as well. It uses an AR card as the introduction to the game, which is very cool. It's on the back of there. Look.
Oh yeah, there it is.
And one of the main characters, who I shan't say anything about, appears in your living room, as is the case for me, and then is projected into the living room, which is a really cool thing.
Were you just
thing.
Tripping on something crazy?
Maybe I was. Maybe I was.
Well, interesting, it says here on the back, the paradigm, a new paradigm in the RPG genre.
Very good game, based off of the early Final Fantasies, your 1-3s and 5. So, Tom, you'd like it. It's got a very good, dynamic, job-based battle system.
Mm. I like 5, let's point out. Yeah.
But, honestly, very good game. Probably the best RPG I played. I would have even maybe said better than Ni No Kuni. Though I do like the story of Ni No Kuni, but that Bravely Default's battle system is one of the best battle systems I've ever experienced in an RPG. So it's very good. And yeah, to be honest, that was pretty much my Christmas.
That's what you played.
I played those two. I picked up a few games over the festive season, though. I went into a charity shop in Swansea on Christmas Eve because I was getting a last-minute Christmas present for my nan. And I went into a charity shop, and lo and behold, they had a copy of Resident Evil Code Veronica, a copy of Buster Move 4 for the PlayStation 1. And
you mentioned Code Veronica, the Dreamcast one, not the
Dreamcast one. I apologise. Yeah, the Dreamcast one, the original, not the director's cut. And also a copy of Marble Madness for the Spectrum.
Have you got a Spectrum?
I have not, unfortunately. I thought I did, but it's apparently long gone. I went up the attic, found my Commodore, but it's not coming back because it's too bloody heavy. But yeah, I picked it up just for the novelty of owning it, to be honest, and kind of was like, well, I want to see it have a good home, so I brought it home with me. Mm-hmm. And then me and my brother reminiscing over Christmas, talking about SNES cartridges and having to blow them after he put a vinyl record on and we had to blow the dust off the vinyl. And we were like, haha, it's like NES cartridges, ha 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 ha. And then my brother started reminiscing to my nephew and said, like, oh, when me and Uncle Matt were kids, games came on tape, ha 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 ha. To which my nephew responded, what's a tape? Yeah, we had to show him. And then he was like, oh, one of those. And then lost interest completely.
Oh, he had seen one before then, he just didn't realise.
He didn't know what it was called. He's 10 as well, so that's, I mean, yeah. Worrying. He did know what a joystick was, though, fortunately. Yeah. Knew what a joystick was, knew that to him. But yeah, so I picked those up. Actually, I also went to, and if you are one of my Welsh-based listeners, because I know there's a few people who work in and around Wales, it's actually a really cool thing that Neath Petobot County Borough Council are doing. And at their tip sites now, there is actually like a charity shop. So anyone throwing stuff out into the tip, it goes into like a sorting thing, which is covered by Water First, and they judge, like you can choose to say like, yes, you can put this stuff in the charity shop if it's worth anything to anyone else. And they sell things for very, very cheap, actually. It goes to Welsh Cancer Trust, I think it was. But they had some really cool stuff. I picked up a few PlayStation 2 games that I didn't bring back with me. Ratchet and Clank, Wipeout title, and... Oh, I can't remember. There was a few. I just grabbed a few things. I'm not really well documented. I did get Resident Evil 1 Director's Cut for the PlayStation 1, however... And I also got Colony Wars just because it was 50 pence and it was in really good nick. And I'd always wanted to play it.
It was going to be thrown away.
Yeah, it's just going to be thrown away. But there's some really cool stuff in there. There was like violins and like, you know, like actual, not just like a crappy Argos. Mm. Here's a violin for £15, like a fairly decent violin.
Can you buy a violin from Argos?
You can buy everything else from Argos Talk. It's a book of dreams, let's be honest.
Yeah, but I think probably you can.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds cool.
Yeah, it was pretty nice. Then I got a copy of Minecraft. I don't know if it's still there, but the Xbox 360 version at least is £5 in Morrison's after Christmas. So got one for me and my brother so we can play with my nephew. And I got a birthday gift of Thomas, a late birthday gift. Those... who listen to the podcast regularly remember that Tom got me a copy of Evolution 2 for the Dreamcast, the American import, before Christmas. Got me Bible Adventures on the Mega Drive for my birthday. Yeah. Yay! Oh, fascination. I haven't played it. I'm going to actually give it a crack before I go to bed tonight, I think.
Don't let it give you nightmares.
It won't. It won't, I'm sure. You know.
So I tried it to test it. It is quite limited in its scope.
A fascination with this game kind of peaked by at the Retro Hunter on Twitter, Ali from Retro Asylum Podcast, buying a copy for the NES and me kind of wanting it and then realised that it was worth a lot of money. And I was like, ha-ha, screw that. But maybe we'll do a Let's Play, just for fun, of Bible Adventures.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't realise the Bible has so much lifting and carrying of animals.
Really?
In it.
No, you'd be surprised, Tom. A lot of lifting and carrying of animals. And then my final... bought/played, really, a copy of Battlefield 4. I got a GameStop gift voucher from a few of my mates for my birthday, and so I decided to go to GameStop. And I bought a copy of Battlefield 4 on the PS3, knowing that I could just upgrade it to a PS4 copy for, what, 75 kroner, so, like, just under a tenner. And oh boy, I kind of we badmouth first person shooters on you. That's the Zelda box opening again in my surprise at how shit this game is. The campaign is pretty enjoyable. It's just, you know, walking down a corridor, shooting some things. The scenery looks very nice. But if it has taught me of anything about war, is that you'll see some pretty scenery and be bored to tears and get shot a lot. It's pretty much all I needed to know about war, really. I kind of put it down and was like, oh, fuck this.
I think a lot of the appeal comes from playing with friends online.
I do. Battlefield. I think so too. I tried to play it online. The problem with it is, I think, is that the game has now reached a level of realism where it's actually hard to see enemies. And so you just die because you get shot from everywhere. And you're like, well, who the hell killed me? And then it'll, on the multiplayer at least, it kind of zooms in and shows you where they were. And you're like, all right, they were behind that tree because the camouflage is so realistic that people actually blend into trees now. And like that level of realism
doesn't
really...
It is a problem now, isn't it? It's no longer got that look of a game.
No,
anymore, has it?
Exactly.
Something I'd miss. It's no virtual cop.
No, it's no virtual cop. Does beautifully show off the PS4, though, it must be said. Some of the lighting and stuff is insane. Some of it looks photorealistic, the way the light shines and stuff. But
I can testify to the destructibility of the scenery.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, too. As always present in the Battlefield series, you can blow walls up and stuff, which is good.
Testing what you can't destroy. And you can destroy nearly everything, apart from curtains.
We shot a load of what seemed like priceless Chinese statues. We shot some lights.
The lights was good.
Yeah, how they fell from the ceiling once you shot the cables. That was pretty cool.
The basketball didn't deflate once.
The basketball did not deflate, and... In all honesty, listeners, if you're going to put a basketball on a shelf, why doesn't it deflate? Why are you tempting me with a big orange ball and then not letting me shoot it?
That will be on the pro on the cons of a written review, pros and cons. Cons, basketball doesn't deflate.
Also, the horrendous lag in multiplayer would also be on the cons list. I played 4 games. First one was very, very smooth. Unfortunately, I joined in towards the end of it, so I didn't actually get to test out any combat or shooting or whatever. And then the second game I played was a 10-minute game in which nobody really seemed to move, and then the host just kind of dropped out because everyone would move forward, then they boomerang back, move forward, boomerang back, move forward, boomerang back. And trying to shoot someone took me about 3 minutes because he kept running and going back, and so did I. Sure. And I was just ready to call it quits then, but I played one or two more games afterwards, and it seems okay. But I'm just like,
We're both not really fans of the genre.
I used to be, though, and I don't... other than graphics, I see no progression in the genre.
I'd love this to be called. I was looking at the front here, and it says that the rest of... half of the word is covered with a sticker. It says Battle F. Imagine if the game was called Battle Fuck 4. Imagine that would be much better.
In all fairness, from the campaign and the amount of fucking swear words used,
that's Battlefuck 4.
Battlefuck 4 is probably the best name for it.
And it's the best name for this podcast episode.
Oh dear. Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you.
So that, but in all fairness, you can interrupt me all you like on it. It was pretty boring. Like I said, I used to really be into it around the time of Modern Warfare, first-person shooters. They don't really do anything for me now. Like I said, though, the story in the campaign actually seemed quite nice. It's written by the guy who used to work at Infinity Ward and used to do Infinity Ward stories. So then maybe there's something in it. The guy who played Omar from The Wire is also one of the main characters. He plays a guy called Irish, which is very cool. So I'll stick with the campaign. It's just kind of like... It got to the point earlier, though, when I was playing, I was like, I'm not really digging this.
No. They're very noisy, aren't they? In shooting games, brr.
And this just kind of, this will sound like the prattle of an old man. But
they're very noisy, aren't they, these first-person shooters?
It was very full-on, and it was very noisy, and I couldn't see people, so it just meant I died a lot, and the checkpoints in the game...
It's for young people.
Well, no, it's just the checkpoints aren't very forgiving. So if you die, you go back about 5 minutes and it kind of cuts the narrative off a little bit because you start getting into the story and something really cool happens and you have one of these crazy Call of Duty style moments where you're falling off a helicopter and all this kind of stuff. You're like, whoa! And then you land and you got to shoot a bunch of people. Yeah. And then if someone shoots you in the head, you got to redo it all again. And you're like, well, I don't want to really see this set piece four times, thanks. Yeah. I'm kind of all right the first time when you put the checkpoint after the set piece.
Lots of guns, though.
Yeah, lots of guns. Seem kind of cool. But
if you like guns...
If you like guns, you're not going to go wrong.
Like our good friend Jonathan Staples when playing it last night.
Yeah, our friend Jonathan.
I like shooting things.
Very much in love with this game. you know, never mind.
Yeah.
All right. I only paid for... Well, I paid about 14 quid for it all in all with the...
That's great.
The thing, so yeah. I can't complain.
Can't complain. Very nice.
What about you, Tom? What have you been buying?
I upgraded my copy of Sonic 2 for the iPod.
This is with the secret level, right?
Yes, I was surprised about this because I'd previously purchased ages ago. And of course, since then, they did a redone version.
Yes.
And I just expected half to pay for it again. But no, I was able to update it when I went in the shop to purchase it. It said, update? Oh, yeah, I'll have that.
Probably something to do with Apple's policy, I reckon, rather than Sega's.
Yeah.
Generosity.
Very nice. Great game. I've noticed this a lot with the rise of tablet gaming is you know...
On the increase.
Yeah, because the advertised notice in the UK on TV, tablet gaming, there was an advert for gaming on a tablet.
Which seems insane. Was it for Android or was it for Apple?
I don't know, just... A tablet, a new tablet, so probably Android.
Yeah, I assume so. Yeah. Then was it like a Samsung tablet or something?
Yeah,
like
probably
that?
Something okay. like that. But I was on the train and I was there playing Sonic 2 on my iPod, and this kid was there with his tablet that he just got for Christmas, and
yeah,
he was his dad was chatting with a woman on the train. They were talking about him getting his tablet. You know, he's never off it. You know, and he was playing some racing game on it, and that was it. He didn't have a DS. He didn't have a PS Vita or anything. He was there on a tablet, and I've noticed this. I've heard several people talk about getting tablets for their kids for Christmas and things like this, that the kids really want the tablets now.
It's because everything's there, isn't it? Like, I mean, obviously you can do all this same stuff on a Vita. You can watch videos, you can do all this other stuff, you can get apps,
but they recognize and know the brand. The tablet is now a thing.
It's kind of like the monolith in 2001, isn't it? We're all monkeys screaming at tablets. Yeah.
I just wonder what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah, I think
can it kill off the portable games console?
I think there will always be a dedicated handheld. Let's be honest, despite the amount the tablets are selling, Nintendo is still selling very many 3DS units, enough to warrant people buying them.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, like. We see how it goes. I mean, Nintendo themselves have said they're going to be dabbling into some kind of app based around Pokemon, right? A couple of weeks back, before Christmas, I remember them saying they were going to go in their first foray into the world.
I've heard
of apps.
About the Pokemon app before. You pay for a Pokedex with all the moves in and everything, telling you what level the moves.
I think so, yeah.
But you pay for it in region.
Yeah.
So you buy like a skin for all of it, and then you upgrade it with regions. Yet there are... You know, fairly cheap alternatives available already on the iTunes store. I actually own one myself, which cost me next to nothing.
But, you know, with Nintendo, how long are they going to stay on the iTunes store?
We'll see. Let's move on. What else have I been playing this Christmas? Well, I have a PS Vita. I mentioned before Christmas that I was considering picking up a few games over Christmas for that. And luckily enough, Marumasa Rebirth was in the PlayStation January sale.
Really want it.
$8.99.
I need to get it. I should.
That was good, so I'll pick that up. And also, I picked up Jet Set Radio, which was very cheap on the same sale.
I saw that too. I should get that
Metal Slug XX, the PSP game, and King of Fighters 96, and Mickey's Wild Adventure.
I do need to get Mickey's Wild Adventure. I do really like that game. Steamboat Willie level at the start is very cool.
Yep. I've been playing a few other things on my Vita that I downloaded previously, and I've only just been able to play properly because I got myself a new
memory card,
32 gigs, so I downloaded the 10-game pack that came with my Vita when I bought it. And also some of the PlayStation Plus freebies like Gravity Rush and Uncharted Golden Abyss.
Yay! Play Gravity Rush. It's really good.
I haven't played Gravity Rush yet. I have played Uncharted, though. I was after a shooty game.
I haven't played Uncharted, actually. That's interesting.
Really impressive, actually. I found I was using the touchscreen controls quite an awful lot. And I found it quite intuitive how... For example, you're hanging on a rock face and you want to like jump over to the other side, you would tilt it to lean over.
That's cool.
Tilt the console and then and you touch the screen to climb up things.
That's great. Tell you what also does that and better. Tearaway.
Tearaway. Yeah, I got to play that, haven't I?
You do.
It's here. But I was found myself using the touchscreen controls a lot more because they were a lot less fiddly than the... they felt easier, like I was cheating a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. And I think that's promising, that is. I need to play it more.
That's cool.
So that's Vita, I think. Moving on, I got a couple of PS3 games. Now, despite having said I'd kind of lost interest in the Lego games, I purchased a copy of Lego Marvel Superheroes, and I take back everything I said.
Really?
Yes. It's really good. After the initial first couple of levels, I really did get into it, and this is different to a lot of the other ones. They've taken a lot of the ideas from Lego City Undercover.
Yeah.
Having the massive world hub, the city of New York, and being able to drive all the vehicles in there.
Wasn't that
well.
In Lego Batman, though?
It could have been.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I don't think the city, Gotham, was as appealing to play in as New York.
Okay.
Because Gotham was dark, you know, you couldn't see it. It wasn't... And I played it on a Wii, so I couldn't really see anything anyway.
Yeah, perhaps it wasn't in the Wii version then. I'm sure it was in the Xbox 360.
But the this is a great game, and there's enough variety in the gameplay to keep you interested if you've played previous LEGO games.
Cool.
And it's such a huge appeal to the Marvel characters. I think that's a great strength of this entry.
I'm going to get back on it. I mean, I can play it on the gamepad. I just haven't got that much time these days to sit down and play it.
Wonderful game, I highly recommend it.
Good times.
But some terrible like Photoshop on the back there. If you look at the length of the minifigure's
legs. Boy.
I don't know what happened there.
Oh boy.
Minor criticism. I also picked up Beyond Two Souls.
Smelling of Marzipan.
Oh yeah, we've already talked about it, haven't we?
We have, yeah.
Oh, I've forgotten already. I'll just sniff it again.
Give us a sniff, give us a sniff, give us a sniff, give us a sniff.
That's the good stuff.
Oh,
well,
order!
Why you whistled when you sniffed.
Order de William Defoe.
I have, as I mentioned order earlier, Defoe. Only just unsealed it.
You have.
I will play this sometime.
I really want to play it also. So,
yes, and Guilty Gear Dust Strikers on the DS.
Oh wow, that's a cool thing. I hadn't seen that.
This is the Club Nintendo DS. Game card case.
Wowzers trousers. That's really cool.
Use your Nintendo points and get it.
I can't. It wasn't on there the other day when I looked.
It should be somewhere. It's 200 stars, is it?
Sweet.
Is 200 a lot?
I think
no.
200's not a lot. 250 is what you generally get with games.
Is
I have
it,
a shed
maybe
load
it's
of these.
More than that, then, actually. Yeah. I don't know. Check it out. It's a good one.
I'll checkity check it out.
It's not a game, but. The game. Oh, the game that's contained in the case. We've just skirted right over that. It's all right. It's Guilty Gear. You know, it's...
yeah, great.
It's a Guilty Gear a vertical across two screens.
Okay.
A gift for Christmas, Resident Evil Revelations on the Xbox.
Good times.
Bought this to... Well, I didn't buy it. Gareth bought it for me for Christmas to play online with him.
Sweet. I want to give that a go myself, I think.
Of course, the great thing about Revelations... I guess most have already... know about this game or have maybe played it. It was originally released on the 3DS. It was great because it was scaled down for 3DS. It was a pure Resident Evil experience. None of that crap that's in 6. The spectacular fireworks and amazing set pieces and all that. It's about being, you know, near enough alone with a partner, of course, on a scary boat at the beginning, at least.
Was there co-op in the 3DS version?
I don't think there was.
No.
Now, the co-op is limited. It's not a full co-op experience. What it is a variation on Mercenaries, really, where instead of being... It's like a more relaxed version of Mercenaries.
Okay.
You're not timed. You just go through the levels of the game, the existing levels, shooting enemies. There's none of the puzzles or cutscenes. You just go from the start of the level to the end of the level shooting enemies.
Yeah.
And then you can upgrade guns and customize weapons, upgrade them, gain levels. It's pretty cool, actually. It's nice. It's not as fully featured as you might hope it would be as a co-op mode, but it's good. I'm glad it's there. And of course, I don't know if we mentioned this in the podcast about Matt picking up a Mega Drive.
I think we might have like touched upon it.
You bought this online?
I did, yeah. From the same website, I got those games like Super Metroid and things a couple of months back. It's just like a Danish free ads, and they list things every now and again. I browse it like once a week to see if anything comes up. Sometimes I miss real bargains on there, but I trying not to spend too much money on games these days.
Yeah, you didn't spend a lot for this, did you?
I did not.
And some games.
I bought Mega Drive and four games for 300 krona, so just over 30 quid.
And I purchased one of the games.
You did indeed.
For I think about 150 krona.
I think so, yeah.
Was it? Yeah, like 15, 20, no, 20 quid. 200 krona.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, just 100 krona short of what you paid for the whole lot. But this was well worth it. This is High Seas Havoc, or Captain Lang, or whatever it's called, where and what territory it was released in. It's a platform game by Data East. Now, I originally thought it was
Sunsoft.
It's not. Data East. It's a Sonic-esque platform game, which is well worth a play.
Yeah. Have you given it a go?
Yeah, of course.
Do you enjoy it?
Yeah.
In that bundle for myself, I picked up what looks like a Japanese Mega Drive, but we are in doubt whether or not it is or not.
Oh, yeah, the Made in Taiwan Mega Drive.
The Made in Taiwan Mega Drive. If anyone knows anything about possible bootleg Mega Drives and stuff, I know we got a few listeners who are into retro games. Yeah, please let us know. I'll post a picture up on it on the Twitter. The
curious thing about it is it doesn't say Sega anywhere on it.
Also, no, it doesn't. I thought it was a knockoff when I got it, and I suspected it might have been on the web anyways, but I just wanted the games that came with it.
Yeah. Also, the one of the controllers we found with it, one was an official Mega Drive one. The other was, again, made in Taiwan.
Yeah.
Whereas the Mega Drive one was made in China. I presume this other controller is
the one that came with the console.
Came with the console.
And it's also battered, which is nice because the Mega Drive one's okay. And yeah, and with that, I got Mega Games 1. Mega Dreams Collection that often came with a lot of Mega Drives. Strider, very good game, I like. And then Subterraria, which is a shooting game, which I've heard a lot
which
of people rave about. Yeah, a few of our Twitter followers got very excited when I posted up the picture of it.
Subterraria?
Yes.
Of course, from your own collection, you brought back Revenge of Shinobi with you. Now, here's an exciting sounding game, Matt.
Oh, really?
You know, I was comparing...
Paint me a picture,
contrasting
Thomas.
The back covers of games nowadays with old games. And games really went the extra mile to sell themselves to you with really detailed and sometimes lengthy descriptions. You are Musashi, Master Ninja. You're one of the mystic warriors who see and know all things. You are deadly! Exclamation mark, I must point out.
Okay.
Now you must destroy the vicious army of Neo Zed. If you fail, then Naiko, their beautiful prisoner, dies! Exclamation mark.
Bum,
okay,
bum, bum.
I'm already excited. Attack with a ninja sword and cross daggers. Somersault over fences while hurling deadly knives. Ward off bullets. Death stars? Ward off bullets.
May the force be with you.
And death stars. And junked cars by leaping, twisting, and kicking.
Okay.
I'm not finished yet. The Neo Zed are masters of disguise, but you are a master of shinobi. The art of stealth. You stalk the Neo Zed through 24 treacherous scenes. Well, they stalk you.
Take
battle ninjas, muscle men, deadly lasers, and the diabolical boss. Outfight kung fu gangs and armies of machine gunners. The Neo Zed is almost unstoppable. But you have a secret weapon, ninja magic.
In contrast, Battlefield 4 box. Only in Battlefield. Intensive single player campaign. Epic battles. Fight on land, air, and sea.
Is that it?
Is that really it?
I'm not sold.
That's literally the back of the Battlefield box.
You taking out any Death Stars?
No. Actually, I'm quite surprised. Oh, no, it doesn't. Never mind. It's just a load of padding and adverts for other crap. I thought it had an instructions manual, but it doesn't. Yeah, so that's that.
Mm. From the makers of Heavy Rain comes a psychological action thriller starring Ellen Page and William Dafoe, with spirits of life with Jodie Holmes. As you, your every decision shapes course of this unique, unpredictable adventure.
Bravely Default. A new paradigm in the RPG genre. Explore a vast world of Luxardark as Warrior of Light. Battle. Form flexible strategies by combining jobs and abilities. Time your turns tactically with the new Brave and Default system. A new breed of turn-based combat battle has arrived. Connect. Use Summon Friends to call friends characters into battle. Use Abililink to borrow their abilities. Rebuild your home village using Street Pass. Be part of a community of fresh take on the single-player RPG.
Well, there's plenty of information there.
Yeah, it
but
is.
It's information. It's very technical.
Yeah, it's not the game.
It's not as wordy as some of the other ones. Aliens have invaded a vital subterranean mining colony. Use light-speed reflexes and total concentration to fly a prototype fighter through impossible caverns, rescuing miners and blasting the aliens into the darkest pits of space.
Link Between Worlds. Join Link on his wondrous new adventure and discover the art of travelling between worlds. Revisit the setting of Link, Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past. You must embark on a perilous quest spanning both light and dark worlds to save Hyrule, a looming threat, i.e. Remember that game you played? Remember the one you liked on the Super Nintendo?
Here's some more. That's quite classic.
Yeah. This was a bloody good game!
Strider. Hiru, the youngest yet most able Strider, has been chosen by his elders to stop Grandmaster Mio from making the Earth his private playground. Ooh, I like that. Use Falchion, the plasma sword, and Hiru's cat-like movement to swing through jungles, scale snow-capped mountains, board enemy warships, and finally ascend the Supreme Tower for the final confrontation. Now, I notice it goes into a lot of specifics in old games.
Yeah, it does.
It tells you key details like names of the characters, names of the villains, names of the places that you'll go.
Well, what I think we need to bear weapons. In mind is, right, obviously, like, you're playing Battlefield, you're playing Beyond Two Souls, you're playing whatever. The story is in the game now. There are cutscenes that will tell you the character names. They will tell you all these things. I mean, you know, like...
And they don't need to sell it as hard, do they?
Because no.
These things have huge advertising campaigns.
They do. Games are now a different thing to what they were.
They're like movies.
They are. And I mean, you know, obviously, like, you're playing Double Dragon. You don't know that their girlfriend's being kidnapped, really, other than...
You just assume that.
You just kind of assume it. It's just like, oh, well, let's go get her back. And, you know.
Are you sure she doesn't get kidnapped at the beginning? Someone pick her up and...
I think she does in the first one. Okay. I don't think she does in two. Okay.
But you've seen that as an example, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like, though actually saying that, Ninja Gaiden, i.e. Shadow Warrior as I know it, does have cutscenes.
One of the first games to have cutscenes as we know them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. I guess there was storytelling aspects.
Ooh, that was exhausting, all that talking. But the point we're trying to drive home was they were a lot more interesting to read back then.
They were.
Read Zool's back blurb.
Yeah, really? That's your homework.
This is the greatest game in the world. You never played another game as great as this game.
Chubba Chub Lollies.
This is the future of video gaming in your hands.
Yeah. Was it?
No.
I noticed you didn't bring that back with you.
No, I find Zool a very hard game.
It is a very hard game.
I'm just going to go back to Resident Evil Revelations, just say something about it.
Go for it.
That it's obvious it's been upscaled from a DS game, but there's something that's charming about it. It looks really nice, don't get me wrong, but the textures still seem very flat.
Yeah.
And you know what it looks like to me? It looks like a Dreamcast game.
Oh, really?
Which is really nice.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
Some of the text aren't high resolution as they might be in other...
And what's the other Genesis game you bought that I can see there, Tom?
Oh, yeah, it's quite small. I nearly forgot about it.
It's just a cart.
Yeah, The Adventures of Batman and Robin.
Is that based upon the TV series?
Yeah, it is a great Mega Drive game, and one, if you wanted a boxed PAL copy, rather expensive.
Ooh, boy.
This is an American unboxed copy, brought on the British eBay, so...
quite cheap. In comparison.
Cheap in comparison to the other copies. And thankfully, you know, this doesn't work on any old Genesis, I found out.
Really?
I had to flip the switch on mine to change the region. Now, I know that's not the case for every Mega Drive game.
I didn't realise you had a region switch.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, my one in the UK.
Ah, I see. So you can't play it either?
No, I've just realised. I brought it back and I can't play it.
Well, we'll try it on my Made in Taiwan.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it'll work on that.
Maybe it'll work on yeah. that one. We'll try that one out.
Hey, sis. Yeah, I also got Don't Starve on the PlayStation 4 because it's this week's PlayStation Plus title. I played a little bit earlier. Seems kind of cool. Seems kind of Minecrafty in a way that you get a lot of elements that are in the world to build things to help yourself survive. Doesn't really do a lot to explain to you what the hell you're supposed to do, much like Minecraft. I guess you just kind of figure it out. But from the brief 5 minutes of it I played earlier before I started cleaning, it seemed okay. I'll give a more thorough report on it last week, but I really liked the intro. Really like the style. Next week. I'm tired. Yeah, it seemed good. I'll give a proper report on it next week once I've had time to dive into it.
Please do that. I remembered a couple of other things I picked up over Christmas.
Oh, really?
I purchased a copy of Super Mario Brothers 3 for 3DS.
Okay.
Which was on offer, and it was quite cool because on my account, I had so much money. I was just like 35p short of the price of the game. Something like £2.70 something, I think it cost me. And what you're able to do on the 3DS store is just top up the amount you need. You don't have to buy a set amount.
As I learned the hard way.
I only had to pay 35p towards it. So 35p on my card.
Yeah. You got Super Mario Brothers 3.
That. Well, plus what I already had. Great to have that as a portable game. One of the most classic, greatest two platforms ever made.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, now on the go. And also I picked up in the sale, I forgot this, PS3 sale, Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. Very cheap, $3.99.
Oh, cool.
Great racing game.
Good times. yeah, I don't think I've actually... Have I picked up anything else?
I think have we done all our pickups now?
I think so, yeah. I was going to actually say, like, hey, maybe we should do something more topical for people, something to look forward to next week's podcast. And what's been released? Fuck all is being released in the next week, I found out. There's an updated version of Assassin's Creed Liberation, the PlayStation Vita title, going to be released on the PS3 and Xbox 360 for those who didn't play it. See, is that music box fucking brilliant? Holds the S games. Not going to put the S games in it, just so I can go.
Oh yeah, it does.
At any opportunity, yeah. So yeah, I guess that's it for this week.
Oh, sorry.
Put it away.
We'll bring you more information on Bible adventures.
Yeah, we will. I'm sure we will. There'll be some Bible adventures. There'll be some Beyond Two Souls. There may even be some Resident Evil
Beyond
Revelations.
Tool Souls.
Beyond Two Souls. Ha 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 ha. Yeah, if you want more of that wit of Tom Parry or me, Matt Boyle, dear, you can find us on iTunes, on Stitcher, and on the website, which is www.tomandmatt.com. And you can look us up on the old Facebook, facebook.com/TomandMattAttack, and then you can give us a little tweet, give us a little at TMAcast on Twitter, and we will do our best to respond. I've been quiet on there this week just because I wanted a cleansing period before we dived back into it. So yeah, hit us up. Like, subscribe, rate us on iTunes, etc., etc. Until next week, I've been Matt Boyle, he's been Tom Parry. Good night.
Good night.
And game on.
And game on, of course. Don't forget that.
Yeah, otherwise it's kind of pointless, really.
Yeah.
If you don't game on,